Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
Now I had the time of my life. No, I never felt like this before. Yes, I swear it's a truth, and I owe it all to you.
'Cause I had the time of my life, and I owe it all to you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas on a Podcast. You know us, you love us, and we do these bonus episodes for you about once a month or so. I'm in this kick right now. Well, really, my whole life I've been on this kick of the 1980s, but I live in that decade. I just can't escape the 80s. I love everything 80s, and what I decided to do for our bonus episodes is basically the first 6 months of this year of 2018, every month there will be a new 1980s themed bonus episode for our fans. It'll start over on our Patreon site, and then it'll make its way out to the masses. So what we're doing, I'm very excited to have a lot of guests that I love on the show today to help me count these songs down. We're doing the top five original movie songs. So these will be songs that first appeared in a movie or were written specifically for a movie of the 1980s. Let me introduce the panel here, guys, let you know who I've brought along for this journey. And if it's okay, I want you to tell everybody the year that you were born as well, so we can kind of get an idea of where we stand and where we were in the 80s. Now, you don't have to. I don't want to pressure you into doing it. You don't have to.
But no, first, it's fine.
First up, let me introduce Gidget Von LaRue. You guys know her from the Retro Cinema Podcast, and she's a big fan of the show. We are always chatting on Twitter. Gidget, how are you, hon? Thanks for being here.
G'day. Thank you for having me. I've been on your podcast before, and you're such a gentleman. Oh, and you are doing, obviously, my favorite era, the 80s. I will admit now, I was born in 1970, so I was a teenager in the 80s. So it was the most awesome fucking time to be a teenager, let me tell you.
You got me beat. You got me beat a little bit, 1970. I wasn't sure, and I didn't know if you were going to share that. So I'm very gracious that you decided to share that with us. Thank you. And I know the 80s.
I have no problem with the age, just the face.
I know the 80s must have been a big deal to you, so I'm excited to see what you picked. And then my boy Wesley, who I was just on his show. Last week, right, Wes? I don't know. I can't remember where I am right now. I think it was last week. But we talked Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but he does via VHS. Wes, what's up, brother?
Oh, man. I'm so excited for this. You know I love the 80s. I mean, via VHS. So, yeah, I'm excited.
But I think you're the young one here, Wes. Do you want to tell everybody what year you were born?
1984.
He was born in 84, guys. So I think I
could be your mother.
I think I'm going to have some songs on here before you were born. Wes, I'm sorry, man. I knew you were the baby going into this, so I'm sorry to make you do that.
Fine.
But it actually is interesting, though, that you were born in 84, so you were only 6 years old at your oldest in that decade, yet it still had such an impact on you later in life. So I think that's pretty cool, too. And
I love it.
And then, look, I love this guy. One of my favorite podcasts ever. Love Paul and Wayne, and he's been on the show every time. It's a pleasure, man, and I appreciate you coming back. But Paul is here from The Countdown. We have two from Australia, by the way. Gidget's in Australia, and so is Paul. Paul, welcome back to the show, man.
Thank you so much for the invite. As Wes said, very excited to be here. And I am way older than Wesley and a little younger than Gidget. So I'm clocking in at 1975, which puts me in just teenage years in the 80s.
Well, looky there. Looky there. And I tell you
So what are you, Gerald?
Well, I was going to say, that's interesting. I was born in 75 as well. When's your birthday, Paul?
I think I've got about 4 or 5 months on you. My birthday's in July.
Okay, yeah, I was born in November of 75. So
there you go.
The point is...
What date, November? I'm the 20th.
Oh, really? I'm the 15th. There we go. Another connection there, Gidget. But yeah, so three of us are born in the 70s. Wes was born in the 80s. So you're a child of the 80s, brother. So I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see what your research brought on, too. So anyway, just to remind everyone, we're doing the top five 1980s original movie songs. And it was really hard to narrow down the list, I got to be honest. I had my top three. There was no question on my top three. But other than that, it was a little difficult. Did you guys run into any issues, or was it pretty easy for you guys just to nail down a top five?
Yes.
Yes, it was easy.
No, it was difficult.
Oh, it was difficult.
It was tough to omit certain songs. I knew which ones I liked, but I really just was hoping that you would change your mind and make it a top 10 because it was so tough.
Right. It is tough. It was tough.
I struggled when we just did the top 10. So I had about 40 songs.
Yeah.
But because I'm the only girl on the podcast tonight, I just went fucking girly as shit.
Yeah, to support the female community. There's no problem with that. Well, I'll tell you what, since you said that, Gidget, I'm going to let you start us off. So why don't you give us your number five song from a movie in the 1980s and mention the film that it's from and the song and the artist and tell us why you picked it. What's your number five?
My number five is The Heat Is On by Glenn Frey, 1984 Beverly Hills Cop.
Yep.
Written by Giorgio Moroder. He was up there with Kenny Loggins for the 80s, I really think. You know, he had the synth sound.
Yeah.
This was actually written by Harold Faltmeyer and Keith Forsey. They paid $15,000 for this song. The guitar solos by Fry in Australia. It reached number 2 on the Australian singles chart. And it's also when the Eagles sort of all separated. Still the number one song from solo artist from the Eagles. But Heat Is On just pumps you up. It's a workout song.
It's just a great tune. Wow. It's a great tune. The Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack was on my top 5 soundtracks. And
it's so good.
I'm going to mention Beverly Hills Cop a little bit on today's show as well. But just a great soundtrack. Ooh. Very Motown-y, very Detroit, you know, kind of had that rugged feel. I mean, that Glenn Frey song is awesome. And, you know, Giorgio Moroder came up on that episode about soundtracks, too, because he did a lot of the Scarface soundtrack.
We've podcasted that. And that is, look, it's not, obviously, Scarface isn't a musical movie, but the music to it is just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, helps tell that story for sure. Absolutely. Well, great pick to get us started off. Hey, the heat is on. I like it. We got it. We can sing
on the street.
We can sing on today's show if you guys want to. It's not mandatory, but it is optional. Okay, let's see.
I'm gonna be singing. Don't worry.
Let's see, Wesley, the '80s baby over there. What do you got for your number five, brother? What did you bring there?
Well, let me just say first that the way I decided to do my list was, since there were so many songs I had to omit, I decided to go with a theme. I wanted my soundtrack to be awesome. So if you close your eyes and listen to these five, you would wake up with a mullet, abs, and a 85 Camaro. Okay.
Wow. I may do that then.
A raging erection.
Oh, well, absolutely.
that's every morning, but yes.
Acid wash jeans.
Gotta have some tears in it as well.
Okay.
The jeans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely tears in the jeans. A Van Halen t-shirt. I'm going to start off with Flesh.
He'll save every one of us.
Okay. Dun, dun. Every one of us. Flesh. Savior of the universe.
Okay, so are you going to tell us... Okay, Wes, are you going to tell us your theme now, or do we have to figure it out as the list goes on?
Oh, no, it's mullets and abs. That's okay, just essentially all right. It's basically where I'm at here.
Okay.
You know, trickle down economics, pretty much everything 80s and adrenaline and machismo is where my list is.
Okay, cool, man. Hey, good pick. I love Flash, man. Good pick.
Queen.
Yeah.
Song it's Queen. Queen. Absolutely.
Great bass line. Just dirty guitars. It just comes out of nowhere. It's just a thunderous introduction. It's so good.
You can never go wrong.
Go, Flash. Go.
All right. I'm going to go back to my other Aussie on the panel, Paul, for his number five original movie song from the 80s.
I'm a little concerned then hearing Wes introduce his list that maybe, just maybe, we might have a lot of crossovers then, because there's a fair bit of testosterone in my list as well, if I can put it that way.
Okay.
I would say at least 3, potentially 4 out of 5 of these are songs that, you know, you might use as a bit of a workout tune. And then there's probably 4 out of the 5 films are very sort of macho. No, that's not fair. Maybe 3 of them are macho in context. But anyway, point is, my number 5 is a film which is not well from a film it's not well lauded, but it's a wonderful song, and it's a song which resonates and screams 80s, and most people have it on their workout list today, some 36 years after it's released. It was commissioned from Sylvester Stallone. He said, hey, write this song for me and make it happen, and that's exactly what Survivor did. It is Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III.
Ding, 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 sir. We will have a little crossover here on this side of the table. I don't know about Wesley, but...
I have a song from that soundtrack.
Okay, all right.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
Sorry, I apologize. It's a different soundtrack. I apologize.
Sylvester Stallone, originally, to keep the Queen theme rolling, wanted Queen to do another one, to give them permission to use another one, Bites the Dust. And when they refused, he had to go out.
Which is weird, because Queen had no problem stepping up to do a lot of the soundtracks. And I tried to look into it to see why. I think they wanted to use another one, Bites the Dust, or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah, and it was like, why? Did they have an objection to boxing movies, or...
I don't know. Plus, it was Rocky III, so the franchise was established at that point. So
yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Maybe they heard Mr. T was the antagonist. I don't know. So yeah, it's an amazing song. And how can you not listen to the start of that song and just not get your heart rate increases?
Oh, yeah.
If you're staying still, you got to start moving. It's an incredible piece of music. And my number five.
Great pick, man. I'm going to give my little spiel on it later, so I don't want to get too deep. You set it up very beautifully, but no argument, brother. Great song. One of the best songs to come out of any film, let alone in the 80s. So good pick there, man.
All right, so
let me give you guys my number five. My number five is what would be considered like pure 80s, like cheese, you know, just super cheesy.
Love cheese.
But I love this song, guys. Like, I can't, and I'm talking about in the 80s, and I'm talking about I just heard it this week. Like, it came on like my Amazon Music when I was playing it, when I was streaming music at work. It just came on. And anytime I hear it, I just love this song so much. It never gets old to me. Really, none of these do, but I just had to pick it. And the movie is just as cheesy as the song, but it is from a film from 1987's Mannequin. It is called Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now by Starship.
I have to approve of that. We've podcasted it. So, yeah, that's a great song.
Yeah, I just, you know, Grace Slick and Mickey Thomas doing the duet vocals from Starship. I mean, We Built the City was another great tune to come out of the 80s that they both sang in. But this is just such a feel-good song.
How great were their voices?
I know, just so powerful. They just fed off each other so well. And I love female voices, and I've only got two on my list today, and one of which is Grace Slick from this tune. But yeah, Starship's Nothing Gonna Stop Us Now. It's so uplifting, and it just makes you feel good, makes you want to bounce. And like I said, it's super cheesy, so they'll never be refuting that it's an 80s song. I mean, it sounds like a snapshot of the 1980s, and it's such a feel-good song. I had to put it on my list. It's number five, but I had to put it on there, so that's my number five, guys.
That's a great pick. And so far, all the songs that all of us have picked, you could have it on your music player and you'd be walking down the street and you'd just be like pumping your fists and just walking that just a little bit faster.
Yeah. Wes, have you done?
I fully intend to make a playlist out of today's show. So get it right, people.
Yes.
Get it
right. Good.
Yes.
You'll be skipping some of mine, Paul.
I was going to say, you might want to hold that thought. Yeah, I saw y'all's Twitter back and forth there, Paul. You might want to hold that thought. But Wes, have you ever done Mannequin on via VHS, or have you considered it?
It's on the list.
Okay,
It's on the list somewhere. So it'll definitely happen at some point. I hope.
Such an 80s flick, man. So cheesy, so 80s, but I love it. Okay,
can I jump in here to ask a big question?
Yeah,
via or via?
Well, like I was telling Ashley the other day, it depends on the orator. I've noticed that my Aussie friends and my UK friends like via, and some people like via, and some people like via. It really goes however you want to say it.
Yeah, fair enough. I like that answer. Yeah.
Do you? It works either way.
Do you say tomato or tomato, Paul?
I watch Cops a lot, and I'm guess it's just certain states in America they say vehicle, and that's so weird to us Aussies because we say vehicle and herbs because we say herbs like the British, you know, it's herbs, but it is that different way of saying things, I guess.
Yeah, so refined. Mm. Wes, you have such a refined title to your show, buddy.
I appreciate it's phonetically pleasing. That's what I'm trying to
get for. It really is. So, all right. So the lady on the panel is up again. Gidget, what is your number four 1980s original movie song?
Okay. Number four. Had to do it. We podcasted this. It's Footloose, Denise Williams. Let's Hear It for the Boy. This song was huge. It was second on the number one song for Denise. It was nominated for an Academy Award
for this song. I didn't know that.
Backing singers were George Merrill and Shannon Rubicon, and it went on to be in Boy Meets Girl. In Australia, it was number three, and it's just that pumpy. And again, just like every song that all of you have mentioned, it is just to pump you up. You know, you put your leg warmers on and your leotard and your Jane Fonda workout that shit out of that song.
Sure.
Because let's hear it for the boy.
Love that whole soundtrack. Love that song. It's another good, make like feel good, uplifting song. You know, like pumps you up. You know,
I like songs that make you happy. And then again, you know, like as I mentioned a little bit later, I like songs that also can make you cry. But just for your player, for your workout tape, you know, these are great songs to like work out to.
Yeah, get your Paul, make your playlist. You need to do that.
No, that one's gonna be omitted. I'm sorry.
You don't like Let's Hear It for the Boy.
He's harsh. He would rather have the theme from Platoon or something.
Right.
If you were going Footloose, I'm sure the title track would have done just fine.
Let's Hear It for the Boy is great, though. It's a great song. Great song.
If I get a WA, I'm bitch slapping you, Paul.
All right, Wesley, you're up, brother, for your number four. What do you got over there?
Well, I remember when I was in fifth grade, my camp counselor said to me, "Show me on the doll where the music touched you." And I said, it was the Danger Zone. Kenny Loggins, kind of, I don't know what was going on with the hair, but like the kind of almost a 5 o'clock shadow beard, definitely very Miami Vice, happening with the music video. You know, Kenny Loggins is Mr. 80s soundtrack. And The Danger Zone is going to get you hyped up. It's going to get you ready to go.
Yeah, another one that showed up on my soundtracks when we did top five soundtracks. That song, however, missed my cut. It's on my honorable mentions, but it's just...
Oh, that's a great choice.
The Danger Zone.
I know.
And if I can channel our show here.
Paul, are you aware how many people actually use that expression now on their podcast?
Oh, yeah. I need to get you and Wayne saying it on the soundboard, and if I ever start using a soundboard, for sure. But just a great, I mean, a great opening to a movie and a soundtrack. It was a track one on that soundtrack, too. So, yeah, I agree.
And that again, Top Gun, great bloody soundtrack as well.
Absolutely.
Berlin, yeah, take my breath away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things down a bit. That's a really great song as well.
Absolutely. Okay, good pick there, Wes. You know I love it, man. You've heard me talk about that on previous episodes. Great pick.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Paul, you're up, man, for your number four testosterone-filled 80s tune. What do you got?
Yeah, this one's it's probably the next two are the least testosterone-y of my list, but you know, I just want to say that when you think of the 80s...
Beaches?
Never even seen it. Proud to say. When you think of the 80s, you think of this particular film. And I didn't just say one sentence. It doesn't even have the title, doesn't have the artist in it either. It's Who You Gonna Call.
There's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! Ghostbusters?
Correct. Ray Parker Jr. If you think of Ghostbusters, the first thing you think of, or at least maybe not first, the first image you have will have the accompanying soundtrack of this song. There is nothing more tied to an 80s film, I think, than this particular song. It's fun. Ray Parker Jr., what else did he do?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know, honestly. This was definitely his shining moment.
This was his big moment, and he nailed it, and it's such a good, fun song. And yeah, you can still work out to the song because it's just got that beat, and it totally works. That's it.
Yeah. First thing,
I'm older than all of you, so I can remember when this movie was released and the poster was everywhere with that iconic symbol of the original Ghostbusters because the remake was fucking disaster. And I remember on Countdown, which was a music show in Australia, and that song was
no relation
everywhere. And hey, remember the 80s when they used to have the songs from the movies and they had the cast?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, as well. So in that film clip, you've got Bill Murray and Harold Ramis and all the cast behind him, like walking down the street. And that they don't do that anymore. And I miss that.
Yeah, they need to bring that back. That was that.
They
that,
so do.
That would make more people want to go out to the theater, I bet. That would help.
I think so, too.
All right. Paul, did you and Wayne host that Countdown show she's talking about? Or was that somebody else?
No, I said no relation.
It wasn't you guys. Oh, okay.
It was someone else.
Paul's going to join us on Steel Magnolias. Thanks, Paul. That's such a sweet thing to do.
And beaches, yes. Okay. All right, so my number four is probably a dark horse, or at least I'm guessing. It is from a James Bond film. A lot of people will be surprised to know that. I don't think anybody else in the world would
Let me try and guess. Okay.
You want to guess?
So okay. 80s Bond.
You only get one guess, though. One guess. Go ahead.
Duran Duran?
It is, yes. Duran Duran. Duran Duran's A View to a Kill from 1985. I love that song, and what I was going to say is a lot of people probably wouldn't say that's their favorite Duran Duran song, but it's my favorite. I love it from their whole catalog. Again, it's a song that never gets old for me. Roger Moore was my James Bond, you know, personally. He was the one that I went to the theater to see. Sean Connery was before my time, and everybody that came after Roger Moore I didn't really get as excited about, although I do love the recent ones, Skyfall and some others. But
you like Moonraker?
I did. I just love Roger Moore. He was so kind of different. You know, he was just more like, it's almost like he depended more on his humor and, but he depended more on like his humor and charisma and...
Because he couldn't fight for shit.
I know that.
Well, I'm just about to give a really miserable song, so I just thought I'd bring the tone down a bit.
But yeah, View to a Kill from 1985. By the way, that was the highest charting, quote, Bond song. It went to number one in the U.S. and the U.K. No other song written for a James Bond film has been able to do that, including Adele's Skyfall. So that's
really? So not even Shirley Goldfinger.
No, not number one in the U.S. at least.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Impressive.
Yeah. So that's my number four, Duran Duran. My favorite song of theirs, "A View to a Kill," and that brings us up to our top three, guys. So we're getting there. So Gidget, you're up first for your number three.
Oh, number three. I had to go with Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I had to because I love them. I adore them. I think Freddie Mercury was one of the best male singers of all time. I will easily say that. So this is from Highlander, 1986. It was written by Brian May. It was on the It's a Kind of Magic soundtrack, and it's Who Wants to Live Forever. And this is my funeral song as well. Okay. I want this played at my funeral. When I die, I want people crying their freaking asses off. I don't want people happy or having a party or no. I want people throwing themselves at the wall, going, "What
just destroyed, just destroyed."
So yeah, it's Who Wants to Live Forever, because every time I hear this song, it makes me cry.
Second, Queen mentioned today, and nobody's going to refute that. Just an amazing, one of the most iconic. So love
there
it.
There can only be one Bendejo.
Oh, Heather, please.
Yeah, great pick, Gidget. Nicely
excellent.
Done.
Excellent choice. Well.
Connor, you're all muck and muscle.
All right. Awesome pick. Wesley, you are up. I actually wrote down the order today. I don't know if you guys listen to me scramble through these, but sometimes I forget who goes next. But Wesley, you are up next, buddy. What do you got over there?
This song actually has no lyrics, but I'll still recite the Peter Griffin version. yeah, you got Axel F.
Axel F.
Well done.
Yeah,
you got done.
It's just so 80s. If this is mid workout, so you're gonna like kind of just run on the treadmill for a second.
Yep.
This is a good one to run to. So yep. Axel F.
Hey, great tune. And you know what? That song, and I mentioned this when we did our soundtracks, but that song did something that, instrumental tunes, it was unheard of for them to be topping the charts or to even be on the charts. And
it was just a bit of music, wasn't it? And it was just huge.
Yeah, everybody was humming that. Dan from Dan and Cody joked that was his ringtone for like 3 years on his telephone. I mean, it's just synonymous, And in schools today, when they're teaching like keyboard, that's one of the first songs they try to teach kids, and it's just an iconic bit of music that came out of, and we already talked about how great that soundtrack was to begin with. So great pick there, Wesley. It is on my honorable mentions. It was my number five. It was my number five for a while, actually, and I ended up making my honorable mentions there. So I agree with it. Great pick. Paul, what did you come up with for your number three?
Well, I did say there was at least one song on my list that probably wouldn't hit the Macho playlist, and it is indeed my number three, and I am totally channeling Gidget because my number three is Who Wants to Live Forever from Highlander.
Hey, there you go. Yay! A little crossover.
Wow.
Nicely done.
Brian May wrote this after watching, so Russell Mulcahy sent the film over, the rough cut over to Brian May, and he watched it, and he wrote this song while watching the love scenes between Connor and his wife, Heather.
Oh, that's great.
In a taxi, I think it was. Mm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if he watched it in a taxi, but that's the story goes.
I think he wrote it in the taxi after the screening.
There you go.
Awesome.
But yeah, Razorback. Check that out, people, by the way. That's an 80s Australian horror.
Which features a couple of American actors, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it does. That's a good fun film.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, great. Oh,
nice little Australian crossover there. Look at that. Two Australian. Wes, me and you got a crossover on something now, dude. We're both in North Carolina here. We got to come over.
North Carolina versus Australia is what this is right now.
Apparently. Well, they're going to win then. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, they got a whole continent. So
the heat is on.
Yeah, absolutely. You set us up for that. Good. Okay, so my number three is also a crossover with an Australian, though, Wes. So we're still looking for our moment. But I have Survivor's Eye of the Tiger. is my number three.
Nice. You know,
Paul said plenty of stuff about it, which is everything I would have said about the Queen song not ending up on there, which is how this song was born to begin with. But, you know, this song is just synonymous, right, with any sporting event or overcoming the odds. I mean, you could literally play this song at any sporting event, like soccer, football, yeah, basketball, and like it would make sense. I had read also in my research, Paul, I'm not sure if you know this, that they had originally intended to use this song for the final scene in Karate Kid when Ralph Macchio does the crane kick, and they ended up going with another song that was an original. But yeah, I mean, it would have fit into that scene. Like if, when I say that and you picture that, you're like, okay, yeah, that would make sense too. So I have,
as I'm concerned, Gerald, if I'm tying my shoelaces, this song could be playing. Yeah. If I am putting butter or spread across my toast, this song could be playing.
When you're walking out to the mailbox.
Doing anything, you could be brushing your teeth and be like, I have the tiger. Brush those teeth.
Yeah. Get it. Good. Get it.
Yeah.
And then floss. Okay. All right. So going to our runner-ups. We had a little crossover there, Paul. I'm excited. You know, me and you don't see eye to eye on a lot of this 80s stuff.
Not very often on films, but apparently music, we're much closer together.
I know. So let's do our runners-up, guys. So Gidget, start us off with your number two 80s original movie song.
You're all going to just, like, switch off now. I am dedicating this to Emily.
Yes.
Emily, I'm doing this for you, darling.
Well,
you're a sweetheart.
It can't
but
be.
It's a different song.
It can't be Toto's Africa because I wasn't in a movie. So I think I know what it is, but go ahead.
All right. No. This is ELO.
Yeah.
This is Don't Walk Away.
Okay.
From Xanadu. This is seen in Xanadu where it's the Don Bluth animation scene. So they animate them and they turn into goldfish and then they turn into birds. I love Electric Light Orchestra. I think they're fantastic. And they really uplifted, you know, people might have panned the movie, but the soundtrack is bloody fantastic. You know, ELO, you know, Don't Bring Me Down, Telephone Line, Mr. Blue Sky, Light Years. They're just a fantastic band. And it was hard to pick the ELO song from this, but yeah, Don't Walk Away from me. Just makes me go all mushy.
Well, I saw a
Jeff
little.
Jeff Lynn is underrated. Just put that out there.
I saw a little, I guess, spoiler alerts on your Twitter, Gidget, but I'm not surprised that Xanadu made an appearance. And
yeah, I do. I was teasing some people on Twitter, but then again, I don't have that many followers, so I was like, it should be all right.
Right.
We're not surprised. We're just disappointed.
No, I'm okay with it. Slap you all the way to Tasmania, bud.
Hey, Paul, what was Wayne's number one when I was on y'all show for So Bad They're Good?
Fuck.
It was Xanadu, right? And that's your partner in crime over there. So
yeah, hi Wayne, love you. Love you, Wayne.
Do not take responsibility for Wayne's Wayne-ness.
Well, that's good. You shouldn't. You shouldn't because that is natural. Okay, Wes, you're up, man. For your runner-up, Wesley, what do you got at number two?
This song is not only great for a workout, but also escape rooms. It's No Easy Way Out by Robert Tepper.
We're not indestructible.
I was disappointed. I don't think anybody. I listened to the soundtrack show twice, and I don't think anybody picked the Rocky IV soundtrack.
No, I feel like it may have been somebody's honorable mention, but no one picked it.
What film? Sorry.
Rocky Four.
Oh, Rocky Four. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rocky Four, No Easy Way Out. He's
was
in
it that
black
montage song?
Yeah, it was a
yeah,
montage.
Yeah, he's in a black Ferrari, and he's driving, and he's remembering back when Apollo got, you know, dead. And all those things. So Rocky Four, man, that is a awesome soundtrack, and I could have picked several songs from it, but I really like No Easy Way Out. So it's a music video, essentially.
Yes,
yeah,
good.
There
too.
A that's robot in this
part? That's out there. I can't imagine that song on a lot of people's list. So well done.
Yeah, it is definitely a rare gem, but I do know that song and love that song. And Rocky IV, truth be told, that's probably my favorite movie in the franchise. Are you guys on board with that or
no?
The original. You think the original?
The original is my favorite, but Rocky IV is number one on my guilty pleasure list.
Yeah,
Rocky
the one with Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah.
I really like, because he is not a big handsome dude. He's highly intelligent. Like he's got all these degrees in all this amazing stuff, and he is just like this super intelligent, super hot bloody guy. So that one's my favorite.
Two things, Paul. No, there was not a robot in the montage. unfortunately.
I was wondering how Nick would react if there was a robot in there.
Yeah, he wouldn't like the robot. He doesn't like robots apparently.
He doesn't like a lot of things.
Also, the Creed 2 is essentially a sequel. Is going to be a sequel to Rocky 4.
Yeah, I've heard. I have heard. I'm very excited by that.
Oh, I'm so pumped. I don't care if it's cheesy. Just give it to me. It's going to be great.
I love Rocky IV. It's my favorite in the franchise. I can understand people that would say the original, obviously, because it started everything. But I don't know. Rocky IV was on my tangential Christmas movies when we did that list a couple months ago. And Dan from Netflix and Swill also named that one because it takes place on Christmas and around Christmas.
Oh, it does, definitely. Yeah.
But okay, so what am I up or Paul's up? Paul's up, right?
Me, I am up with my number two. Yep. It's one we've heard already. I am in lockstep here with my man Wes. It's Danger Zone from Top Gun.
Number two, and okay.
Come on. Like, there's a radio show here in Australia. It used to be a radio show. It's just finished, called Hamish and Andy. It's like the most popular radio show that went for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, something along those lines. And at one point on this radio show, one of the hosts, Hamish, was talking about getting a phone call from his girlfriend describing the dress she was going to wear to the award ceremony for like TV in Australia called the Logies. And he said, here is a audio representation of what happened in my head. And he actually recorded her call and he fades her out. And then just fades in and he's like, jeez, this song's good.
Nice.
I love this fucking song.
That's hilarious.
And then it fades out and she's like, what do you think? And he's like, sounds beautiful, babe. Sounds just lovely.
That's hilarious.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, but they are a fair bit younger than I am. And for them to just channel that is, as far as I'm concerned, the icing on the cake for this song. It's amazing. It deserves its place. And Kenny Loggins was not the first choice. Toto was.
Oh, another little shout out to Emily there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian Adams was the second choice.
Wow, he wasn't even the second.
And then the two bands I've never heard of, two artists I've never heard of, but maybe it makes more sense to our two Americans. REO Speedwagon.
Oh, yeah, they're great. Love REO Speedwagon.
Oh, awesome.
And Corey Hart. They all declined. And Kenny Loggins said, I'll do it if I can change some of the lyrics. So there you go.
Oh, Corey Hart was, I wear my sunglasses at night so I can. That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's him. That's Corey Hart. Yeah, that was his, I think he was pretty much a one-hit wonder. I think that was his only big hit.
Oh, there's been a heap.
But anyway, okay. Good pick there, Paul. A little crossover and no refuting the Danger Zone. It is a quality tune, man. Okay, so my number two is a sappy one. It's the only really ballad on my list. It's from a movie that was shit. I barely remember the film. was not very good, but the song is one of the greatest.
The movie sucked. I don't remember the film. Yep. I don't remember it, but here's my number one.
yeah, exactly. But the song will live forever and will be one of, if not the best in her catalog, definitely in the top three or four or five. But Madonna's Crazy for You is my number two. It's from a film called Vision Quest from 1985. And the movie, especially in today's day and age, but I mean, it's about like a student who I think he's, I want to say he was on the wrestling team or something like that, and he falls in love with a teacher. I don't know. So it's a little taboo. It would be a little taboo in today's society, but the movie wasn't very good. I think it had Matthew Modine in it. So there you go. He was the lead love interest, if that gives you any idea how romantic that film was. But the song,
he ruined bloody Gina what's her face's career with that Cutthroat Island.
That's right.
Oh man.
But yeah, Crazy for You by Madonna. She performs the song in the movie, and she wrote the song for the movie, for the soundtrack. And she's just a great love ballad. So, and I love Madonna. I love her whole catalog. So I feel
I'm a big Madonna fan. So I think that's a great pick. And yeah, Crazy for You.
That's right.
Touch me once and I know
it's true. Yes. Paul, join in, buddy. Come on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. My number two.
For you, is it better or worse than Swept Away?
You and I want to go to a tea and have cucumber sandwiches and cups of teas.
All right. So that's my number two. Right. I knew Paul might give me a little shit for that. I love Madonna.
How many times do you play this a week?
I do weddings. I do weddings, so I actually frequently play this as a slow song.
No, on your own.
You need to soften up. Listen to Wayne. Yeah. You need to soften up, dude. You know, war movies and people punching each other in the face.
You know, I bet there's a high likelihood. I bet there's a high likelihood that Madonna would make Wayne's list. Probably. So let's
not
do.
Now.
So
Jesus.
Let's do our number.
She looks like a bull sack in.
Well, not now. Well, I don't know. Wayne likes the older chick, so who knows?
He does.
So let's give our number ones, guys. Gidget, you're up first. What's your number one? I'm excited.
It can cut you like a knife. It is Michael Cimbello's Maniac.
Ooh, from good one.
Flashdance.
Okay. Well, that one could make a playlist of workout. That's not so bad.
It's a pumping song. I've written a shitload about this. It's a montage scene. It's Alex working out in her. I always wanted this. I always wanted to either be Joan Wilder from Romancing the Stone or Alex from Flashdance. I was never one of those girls in school that was going, I want to get married and have children. You know, I was never that. I was always like, yeah, I just want to be this just cool, independent chick. That this was super cool. And she's like working out. She looks amazing. Okay. This song was just, you know, massive. And
great song. Maniac on the floor. I mean, it makes you want to dance too, you know. And that beat's synonymous too. When you hear it, everybody knows it, you know. It's one of those songs from the 80s that everybody knows.
And, are you going to be playing music?
I'm going to put some music in. Don't worry. A little fun fact too. I love, there's a scene in Tommy Boy with Chris Farley with that song that I remember too.
When I hear it, it's being sprayed down with the water.
No, it's not being parodied. He's just singing the song because he's getting sprayed with a hose with cold water. So he's trying to like shake it off. So he starts singing that song and just dancing really fast and getting all the water off of him. So it's really funny.
That's a great movie.
That was in the 90s, but I remember that every time I hear that song too. So great pick, Gidget. So there you go. Number one, Maniac.
Yeah, Maniac. I like it. It was my It was my number one in our retro cinema top 10, and it's still my number one. It's hard to – I know I should go Breakfast Club or something like that, but
no.
Yeah, this is the one song that if I play it, it just gets me pumped and I actually get off the sofa.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, great pick. Love it. And it's a list personal to you, so you don't have to pander to the people, you know? So it's good. I like it.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Wesley, you're up, man. I'm excited, brother. What's your number? Now, remember, everyone, Wesley is by far the youngest. You were 6 years old in 1990. So so what? I'm just interested
to
see.
At the end of 1990, I was born in December of 84. So like,
oh, okay. So I'm just interested.
The last 3 days of 84.
So. I'm just interested to see as such a youngin' what your choice is. So what's your number one, man?
Well, this was easy for me because it's not only one of my favorite 80s songs, and I listen to 80s music constantly, and 70s. I like the 60s and 70s. Rolling Stones are my jam. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
But this is my favorite movie of all time. I think the best movie of all time and one of my favorite 80s songs. So I had to pick a song that doesn't take money. It doesn't take fame.
Yeah.
You don't need a credit card to ride this train.
Hell
it's
yeah.
The power of love.
Power of Love.
Huey Lewis and the News. Can't forget the News.
Of course, Back to the Future. Yeah, no, great tune, man. Yeah, I'm up there with the movie, man. The movie is in. Yeah, I tried to debate whether it was my favorite movie of all time when we did the soundtracks episode, but I can't. I got to really, really think about that. But it's definitely in my top three of all time. But Back to the Future is great.
So good. It's a perfect film.
Yeah, great flick, man. We actually just watched it. My 4-year-old son wanted to watch it. Can you believe that? He asked me.
Hell yeah.
Was he Back to the Future?
That's awesome.
So we put it on.
Better taste than his old man. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want some butter on that bitch slap? Jesus. I know.
Wow. I'm going to be feeling that one for a while, Paul. Thanks. Hey, great pick, Wes. That's a good tune, man. You can't go wrong with that. Huey Lewis. I mean, really a catalog that's just awesome from the 80s, you know?
Mm-hmm. And real quick, just a note. If originally Ghostbusters was supposed to be his song, what happened with that was he actually wrote some of the music and it was a falling out. And he's like, I'm not doing the soundtrack. I think it's below me. And then Ray Parker Jr. essentially stole that song. And so when it went on to be number one and Back to the Future came calling, said, you want to do a soundtrack? He's like, yeah, definitely this time. I'm never passing up on that again. So yeah. Was it for Ghostbusters, you wouldn't have the Back to the Future.
Maybe you'll know, Wes, did he write Back in Time for that soundtrack too, or did that already exist?
It was on that soundtrack. I think he wrote it for that song too, because it's the end credits scene.
Yeah, which is another.
I think the story went that was meant to be the song that was going to feature through the whole film, but the studio said, yeah, it's kind of close to what we want, but it's not enough. Can you do something else? And so they went away and made The Power of Love very quickly, and it was their first number one hit song on Billboard Hottest 100 and the top rock charts as well. So,
which is crazy. Wow. Which is crazy because Power of Love has nothing to do with the movie. Like, if you listen to the lyrics, I mean, I guess
not it, really. No.
Back in Time literally mentions Marty by name. So
yeah. Paul, you're up, man. You're number one, brother. I'm excited. Has it been mentioned?
It certainly has, and it probably isn't that much of a shock given my reaction to Wes's choice. It is also The Power of Love.
Yes.
You're the listener from Back to the soundtrack. There is no better song from the 80s. I don't understand, Maniac, and I just, whatever you're going to pick, Gerald, it's also
you don't
wrong.
Even, you don't even know it yet, brother.
So no one's got you. Forget About Me by
The Breakfast
Club.
It is on my own.
Well, I haven't given
what you just said about Ray Parker Jr. stealing Huey Lewis and the News work. Maybe that should replace my number four for Ghostbusters. But this song didn't win the Academy Award. This is one of the greatest outrages in the Academy Awards history. Mm-hmm. It was nominated in the 58th Academy Awards.
Join it to the list.
Yeah, and do you want to know what did win?
What?
I don't know if I do.
That household name, the song that everybody knows, Say You, Say Me from Lionel Richie.
Mm.
Bunch of shit.
Well, Lionel Richie is a treasure, buddy. I mean, listen.
But let's be honest. Oh, let's be honest.
That's number one.
Do any of the real deserving
sorry,
things in the Oscars really win?
Not always. No.
Not always. No. Definitely not always. Definitely not always. Anyway, that's always. The point is, I am as passionate a fan of this song. Like, you can't go past it. If you're flipping through the radio stations or it comes up on your iPod or your digital downloads, you have to listen to the whole song. It is.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Infectious. That's the power of love.
There it is. I'm going to press play on that song the second we finish recording.
I'll make sure to either play it out on this episode or play it in so you can hear a lot of it. My number one, if you guys are ready. And
all right, yeah. Hang on. I'll do a drum roll.
So,
shock me, Gerald.
Paul, if you don't like this artist, we need to talk, brother, off air. We need to have some
please
kind
tell
of,
me it's not from Dirty Dancing.
Have some
please.
Kind of intervention. Well, I already know you don't like that. So I'm praying that there's no way you wouldn't like this artist. But my number one song is When Doves Cry by Prince from Purple Rain.
Yes, I'm glad you picked it.
1984. Paul, before I go on, you do like Prince, right?
Look, I have an appreciation for Prince. I wouldn't say he's my favorite artist.
Okay, well, Prince is one of my favorites, and definitely one of my favorites from the 80s. Purple Rain is a absolute piece of shit, the movie. Is literally unwatchable. Like,
he wasn't an actor. He wasn't an actor, but he's a brilliant musician.
I would never wish on my worst enemy. You know how when they torture people in the James Bond movies? Somebody should tie James Bond up to a chair and make him watch Purple Rain in the next film. It's a fucking train wreck. However, the soundtrack and the music that was written for the film is some of the best music that's ever been written for movies. Still lives on today. It was number one on my soundtracks. If you guys listen to this, you know that. When Doves Cry, I chose that particular song because it was the most successful, and it's the most, you can still hear that one the most today. Purple Rain is a great song, but it's also 9 minutes long. They don't play it on the radio. They don't play it on the radio now. But When Doves Cry, there's an opportunity for you to hear that throughout pop culture anywhere today. And obviously there was in the 80s as well. But just a great song. It kind of introduced the world to Prince, and he never looked back. Obviously, we lost him like a year and a half ago, maybe, which was a sad day for me. Rest in peace there. One of my favorite artists. And like I said, probably if I had to pick one, I would say my favorite musician from the 1980s was Prince. So there's no brainer that I had to put him at my number one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. But I'll agree with you, Gerald, that is the best song from that movie.
Yeah.
Like, the entire soundtrack is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was the same with, you know, Xanadu and a lot of movies. You're like, what song can I pick? But it's the one that works with you the most. And When Doves Cry is a superb song.
Well, thanks. Mm. Yeah, I agree. So
it was originally number two on my list, but I left it off because I knew somebody would pick it. So I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually surprised Prince didn't get mentioned. I didn't know what his impact guys was in Australia though. So to be fair, I mean, I knew.
Huge. We are with it here in Australia. We were the first country to embrace ABBA.
Okay. Well, that's good.
They gave us Keith Urban, Gerald.
Way before England or America or anything. Yeah, we're very, very, we're very good at embracing.
ABBA was like 40 years ago.
All right.
What's wrong with the past?
We're getting to the end here, guys. So I want everybody to just, I'm going to go around the horn and just let you just rattle them off. You don't have to get deep into it. But if they didn't get mentioned today, give us some honorable mentions that you considered for your list. Gidget, give us a few honorables over there that didn't make your list.
Okay, I've got a couple. All right. So Eye of the Tiger, Cry Little Sister.
Yeah.
Gerald McMahon from Lost Boys.
Yep.
Glory of Love, Peter Cetera from Karate Kid 2. When the Going Gets Tough, Billy Ocean, Jewel of the Nile, and Underground, David Bowie, Labyrinth.
Yeah, All great songs. A couple of those are on my honorables as well. Okay, Wes, what did you have for your honorable mentions, buddy?
From a movie I've never really seen, but I know the song is Against All Odds, Phil Collins. Take a look at me now.
Great song. For sure.
It's just an empty space.
Yeah, I love Phil Collins.
Wonderful.
Too.
We Don't Need Another Hero, Tina Turner, from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. The weakest of the Mad Max, but it's still, you know, still pretty good. Hungry Eyes.
Hey, there you go, Paul. That's for Paul.
Yeah. That was so dedicated to Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good list, Wesley.
Unless you didn't pick I've Had the Time of My Life.
I did. It's on my honorables there, buddy. But I'll let you give your honorables first.
Paul, put your testicles away.
First, Paul. Well, give us a few of your honorables that didn't come up today, brother.
I just had three because my list just stands alone, doesn't need much backup.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to take your ego out for dinner.
I had Don't You Forget About Me from The Breakfast Club.
Of course.
Yes.
By Simple Minds. Wesley mentioned Axel F. from Beverly Hills Cop by Harold Faltermeyer. And the other one, the only one that's not been mentioned on my honorable mentions list, which kind of came to me in a flash of, yeah, I really did like that song, is from Electric Dreams by the Human League, Together in Electric Dreams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, you guys mentioned a lot of mine, so I won't rehash them, but a bunch of them made y'all's list. Gidget,
no, rehash them. Go on, do it.
Gidget touched on it, but I had Glory of Love by Peter Cetera, just a great ballad from Karate Kid 2. If You Leave by OMD, of course.
If you leave,
another Bond song by Sheena Easton, For Your Eyes Only, which, by the way, was a Roger Moore movie. I believe that was
For Your Eyes Only.
Only for you. I believe that's 1987. And then the only other honorable mention. Well, there's two more. So let me get this out of the way. So Paul, I did put I've Had the Time of My Fucking Life on here, brother. That is one of my honorable mentions.
Go.
And that's one of my honorable mentions. I mean, come on, brother. Nobody puts Baby in the corner. She runs at him. He picks her up. It's Lift. I mean,
Paul would not even see that baby.
Paul, do you take your soul out when that movie comes on, brother? I don't know how you don't feel that. Okay. Got a little excited
that's
there.
The truth.
The only other ones I put on here, guys, were St. Elmo's Fire, Man in Motion.
Yes.
And this is a little bit of a rare gem. I think Paul will know what I'm talking about, and maybe Wes, since he does the VHS show. But from 1984, I believe, Teen Wolf, a song called Win in the End.
Win in the End.
Yeah. By an artist named Mark Safin, which I don't know him, but I know that song. It was the montage at the end of Teen Wolf when Michael J. Fox and them are trying to win that game with him as a
the
human.
The worst basketball game ever.
Exactly. Chubby and those guys.
Hey, did you guys see that thing in Teen Wolf where there was some guy like exposing himself in the...
Oh, yeah. Ground? I did see that. It's like on one of the extras on the bleachers or whatever had his dick out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. And the editors didn't catch it, so... And later,
he really enjoyed that song. He was like, oh man, this
is one of the best 80s songs. Absolutely. All right, let's go around the horn and tell everybody where to find my guests at. These guys are awesome. I want to thank you guys so much for being with me. Gidget, you're up at like 3 a.m. doing this. It's amazing. It's the future over there in Australia. The day's already happened over there. It's almost a new day. But where can they find you at on the Retro Cinema? You and Angry over there, Gidget?
Okay, you can find us at theretrocinema.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn app. We're also on Facebook. All of Colonel's gifts that he does, the most beautiful gifts for us, for our podcast, they're all on Instagram. You can find us at The Retro Cinema on Instagram. We're also on Oz Podcast Spreaker, and we're hosted by IADB. So thanks to those guys as well.
Awesome. Thanks for being here, Gidget. I really appreciate it. You know I love you. And what?
You're a hoot, Gerald. Hey, thank you.
Thanks, hon. And Wesley, I know I was just a guest on your show. Tell everybody where they can find you at via VHS.
Ooh, I like it. So dirty. Via VHS, you can find it on all the podcatchers, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Pornhub. You can
Pornhub.
Yeah, definitely. Part of the PodfixNetwork.com. You can go there and find other great podcasts like the Countdown Podcast. Mm-hmm. And Podient.co, my hosting site. Great people over there I've become really good friends with. So you can find us at Podient.
Awesome, man. Thanks for being here, brother. I was glad to finally have you on 2Ps as well. It was a lot of fun.
So awesome.
And,
I really had fun. Thank you.
And Paul, you've been on before, man, but tell everybody where they can find you if they need a refresher.
We're on Twitter at The Countdown PC. If you search for us the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews. We're pretty much anywhere else you can find good podcasts. And we're very close. Hopefully, the next week or two, we're finally going to have our own website. So, don't know what the address is yet, but it's coming.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
I think it should be.
You can also find Paul on I Only Watch Blokey Blokey Movies site.
.com.au.
I think your website should be I've Had the Time of My Life.com, Paul. See if that's taken. See if that's taken.
I think that site should be the wind beneath my wings.
Yeah. .com/Paul and
Yeah, wind. Bette Midler.
All right, that's it, guys. That was our top five 1980s original movie songs. Yet another 80s themed bonus episode for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. You can also find all of our information in the show notes and hit us up on Patreon if you want to get early access to all these bonus eps. Paul, Gidget, and Wes, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for making the time to be here. I hope you had fun.
Indeed. Thank you, Gerald, for having us back on.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Gerald. You're a total gentleman. And Paul, watch a bloody girly flick. Wesley, you're lovely, and you know, as you wish.
Yeah, Wesley, as you wish. You guys are great. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks.
I was going to extremes, losing sight of all my dreams again. I never thought I'd win.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.